In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Paul asks us today not to faint at his sufferings. What about Our Lady? Did she faint on the way to the cross, or as she stood there at Calvary? There was a tradition in the church in the Middle Ages that she did, and they even had feast days to commemorate this, or certain altars, which are said to be at the origin of the fourth station of the cross. But finally it was decided by the church that this devotion, which the Italians call the Madonna dello Spasimo, Our Lady of the Swoon, wasn't correct. Because if St. Paul doesn't want people fainting for what he suffered, do you think that our Blessed Mother would have fainted for what our Lord suffered to save us from our sins and to preserve her from even the least touch of sin? No. St. John says it in a word in the Gospel today, stabat. She was standing, not swooning, there at Calvary, a perfect example of fortitude, which is September's virtue. St. Paul again, strengthened by his Spirit with might unto the inward man. This woman, of all women blessed, was so strengthened. So she didn't sob uncontrollably. Her face wasn't contorted with grief. She didn't even wring her hands, nor did she need a supporting shoulder from St. John. She gave strength to the beloved disciple. Mary stood beneath the cross. The simple grandeur of this phrase from the Gospel tells us of Our Lady's fortitude. There was in her bearing nothing excessive. There wasn't any drama, just the quiet calm of her queenly dignity. Father Faber says, God's mother, in her measure and degree, was as quiet as the divine nature of our Lord was, while the tumult of his passion was trampling his human nature to death. Her calm purposefulness at Calvary is a quality, I think, that many mothers possess. I think of the story of a Canadian mother back in the days when the entire province of New Brunswick in Canada was gloriously Catholic. It gave to the church, for example, a great priest like Father Francis LeBlanc, who died just 1 year ago this month. How does the faith get passed on? This was the story. There was a Catholic man, lived out in the country. He had 6 children, and he was determined to raise them as Catholics. But he had to send them to the nearby public school. They had no parochial schools then. And his work, furthermore, often kept him away from home for long periods of time. What to do? Well, when he returned to his family, he always made time for a catechism lesson with his children. And woe betide them if they didn't have their answers properly memorized. Now, his wife was very devoted, but she was a non-Catholic. And as mothers would, she didn't like to hear the great fuss made when her husband would reprimand the children, because he was very strict about the catechism. And so, when he was gone, quietly, she took to working with them herself, drilling them daily in their questions and answers, just as any Catholic mother would do every day. Now, years of just such lessons in the catechism taught her the Catholic faith as well. Very often, you know, teachers are the first students in class. And finally, this mother, who had received God's grace, made use of it. But they were quiet folk, these Canadian pioneers, and all she ever did was just ask the questions and listen to the answers. So one day, without saying anything to anyone, she put on her bonnet and she attempted to walk the 12 miles that separated their home from the nearest Catholic church. It was too far. She grew weak and she turned around and went back. She waited a few weeks and she tried again a second time. And this time she made it all 12 miles to the church, where she made arrangements to be instructed and to be received into the Catholic faith. What a wonderful example of fortitude, sweet and yet at the same time strong. She didn't want the ruckus and she didn't want the tears when Dad came home, and in smoothing the way for her children, she prepared her own happy highway to heaven, even if it meant walking 12 miles. If the father's responsibility for religious and moral training as head of the family is great, greater still, if possible, is that of his partner, the family's heart, the mother. The life of a child begins with her, and it depends upon her. So does a child's early spiritual life. The father, he indeed reflects the fatherhood of God, again St. Paul in the Sunday epistle. But the mother, in her care and in her love, seems to be in a way even more far-reaching, so much so that when Isaiah the prophet searched for a comparison to make the people in the Old Testament understand God's love, he could find no better metaphor than that of a mother's love. And if she should forget her own, yet still will I not forget you, says Almighty God. Such love is there. Now, if only parents, this is a quote from a 19th century English cardinal, Cardinal Nicholas Wiseman. The quote is in old English to our ear, but the idea is pretty much up to date. Speaking about training their children from the cradle for God, he said once, if instead of fondling their infant humors, in caressing their very passions and caprices, they turned the first dawn of their children's reason. Did you see the dawn today? It was very beautiful. So is the first stirrings of reason in a very young child. But you've got to take it and make those little ones start to know God and start to think about God's goodness. And then he goes on to say, and if only parents would, especially mothers, would form for the first words of their little ones the sweetest names ever uttered, Jesus and Mary. Why then, instead of having to weep over their offspring, perhaps they might be thanking God instead for having blessed their family with a saint. We need saints in our day too. And what do you think the first step could be in getting some today? The present age demands Catholics without fear, fortitude again. This is what the last Pope, Pius XII, preached in 1945. We need Catholics for whom it is the most natural thing in the world to confess their faith, both in works and in words. We need Catholics who are true, and who are firm, and who are intrepid. Now, that's our question this September, how to get them out of this generation to last through the next. There was once a father who was far from being a saint, or even really a very good Catholic, but he had a large family, and he recognized it was his duty to see them brought up virtuously as good Catholics. He had a friend who was somewhat older, this man did, and this older friend had a reputation for wisdom. So one day, the father was humble enough to ask a little advice of his friend, and he said, "In your opinion, what would be the best way to go about making sure that my children end up as good, strong Catholics?" He was surprised by his answer. He said, "I know of only one way, and that is to set them a good example. Children often forget what is said to them, but for the most part, they willingly do what they see their parents doing." What do they see you doing, parents? If they see you fighting or pouting or wasting hours on the internet or compromising morals in front of the TV set, what do they see you doing? But today in God's house, we see Our Lady standing bravely. We hear about that gentle mother who cringed when her children were corrected for their catechism mistakes and who was practical enough to do the job herself. And when she learned the faith, strong enough to walk 12 miles to a church. We see a man who at least recognized his duty regarding his children, and he asked for some good advice about how to carry it out. These kind of Catholics don't fall away, and neither, I suppose, do their children. There's enough fortitude there to last a generation or two. And you, I pray you, not to faint at the task before you. And since we're talking fortitude, I have to say, as young people do, go for it. Remember what we agreed on? If you have a hard time getting your 5 decades in every day, set the goal a little higher. Say, maybe for your children's salvation, that you will pray 15 every day. Now, it's true, many days you won't make that. But if you tell yourself the 15, I guarantee you at least the 5. In that same spirit, I say today, do not train your children by word and example to be virtuous, good Catholics. Please don't faint here. Train them to be saints. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.